What happens when we get discouraged? Lose our focus. The bottom line with discouragement is you get your eyes off the Lord. We say, well, how big am I? How big is this giant that I'm facing? Don't look at it like that. The question is not how big you are. The question is, how big is your God? Because the comparison isn't between you and the giant, it's between your giant and God.
He can heal every scar.
If you find yourself today with some giant-sized problems, it's easy to be distracted by them and start focusing on how big they seem compared to you. But as Pastor Jeff said, we're measuring the wrong thing if we think that. What we need to concentrate on is beginning a long, steady gaze at the heart of our Heavenly Father. And the best way to do that is by reading and meditating on His Word. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And Pastor, the message today, as you know, is called The Giant of Discouragement. And of course, discouragement can really be a hindrance to believers who are trying to walk in faith. Now, it's based on the story of David and Goliath, and I know it's a Bible favorite of yours because there are so many parallels between David's story and our story, right?
Yes, and David had tremendous faith and tremendous courage. But what I like about David, and when I think about that story, is remembering that David is a human being. He's not Superman. David didn't go in a phone booth somewhere and pull off his robe and there was a big, you know, blue suit with a cape and a big S on his chest. He's a 17-year-old kid with a slingshot and a stick going up against a 9-foot-9-inch giant. But he had a rock-solid faith in God. And he knew that God's name was being run through the mud. And David wanted to defend God's honor and to stand up to the enemy in the power and strength of the Lord.
Well, during this series called Facing the Giants, you talk about other giants like shame, evil desires, strongholds, fear, and others. And really, all of these other giants can cause this giant discouragement. It's almost as if everything pivots around discouragement.
Yes, that's true. We can have all sorts of problems with different things and cause us to be discouraged as a result. But I think that the devil uses discouragement, and however he gets us to be discouraged, he'll use different things to bring us to that place of it's hopeless, I'm in a place of despair, I can't win, you know, what's the use of going on? And I think a lot of people get there in one degree or another. You know, it might not be full-blown, I'm so discouraged, I'm depressed, I can't get out of bed. But they're just discouraged in life, and they just feel like nothing ever works out for me, and they become very pessimistic as a result of just being discouraged. And one of the great things in the Bible that God tells us to do is encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Everyone needs encouragement because everyone is susceptible to discouragement, and the devil will use that to keep you and me and whoever from really stepping out in faith and doing the things that God calls us to do.
Well, you know, you've talked often about keeping our eyes on God as a means of defeating this giant of discouragement. But when you use the phrase, keeping your eyes on God, how do we do that? What does that practically mean?
Well, the Scripture talks about that in Hebrews 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And that means looking away from everything else and just keeping your eyes on Him, because He's the author and perfecter of faith. I think when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you're not focused on those things that are bringing fear. You're not looking at the giant. You're looking above the giant to the God who is over every giant. It means that you're keeping your heart focused on the promises of God. And the Lord said, you know, I didn't come to wreck and ruin your life. I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for a future and a hope and not for calamity. I think when you fix your eyes on the Lord, you have His promises going through your mind. And regardless of what you may see, you're seeing past the circumstances and you're seeing with eyes of faith and you're saying, God, these are my circumstances, but you're greater. I love what the scripture says about Abraham. You know, Abraham, when God called him to sacrifice his son Isaac, he was looking with eyes of faith and he said, I don't understand why God would want me to do this. But he said, if I do this, then I believe that God is going to raise Isaac up from the dead. And the Lord was so pleased with that faith because Abraham just said, God, you have this all under control, and I'm just going to keep my eyes on you, and I'm going to trust your promises. And the Lord, as we know that story, the Lord brought a ram caught in a thicket, and Abraham sacrificed that ram. And the scripture says in Hebrews that he received Isaac back as a type of Christ because he believed that God was able to raise him from the dead, even if he sacrificed him as God had asked.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Now, listen, if you missed part one of this message from the last time, or you'd like to get the entire Facing the Giants series from which today's message comes, you can go to our website for the information at fromhisheart.org. You may know someone who needs to be encouraged by this. Let's find out how to do that right now. Open your Bible with me and follow along in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with part two of the message, The Giant of Discouragement.
What does this story teach us about discouragement? Well, two really important lessons that it teaches. Lesson number one, discouragement comes in when we are weary. Now, David is fighting the Philistines. David's not a young buck anymore. David is a man of war, and he's been through a lot of battles, and he's probably late 50s, early 60s now. And he's not as robust as he used to be. And they're at war, and he's at war with the Philistines. And it says that he became weary. The giant came at David when he got weary. And that's the way discouragement comes to you and me. Man, when you're weary, when you're tired from the battle, maybe you've been fighting a sin battle. Maybe it's with drugs, or maybe it's with alcohol, or maybe it's with lust, or maybe it's with bitterness, or maybe it's with gossip, and you've been fighting that, and you just feel so weary, so tired, so broken down, and then discouragement will come in. Discouragement tells you and me we can't do it. And see, the devil comes in the form of discouragement with whatever you're struggling with, and he says, that's right, you can't do this anymore. You can't take this. You can't have victory. You need to quit. Just give up and quit. Now, rest is really important to God. You and I need to be very, very careful and cognizant and obedient to the Lord to say, yes, Lord, I will rest, because discouragement comes when we're weary. Lesson number two, discouragement comes not only when you're weary, but it comes in when you and I lose our focus. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Where are your eyes today? Are they on your giant-sized problems? Are they on your giant called discouragement? Or are they on God, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith? King Jehoshaphat faced an enemy. The enemy looked huge to him. There were so many of them. There were armies that had come together to wipe out King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And Jehoshaphat prayed in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. And he said this to the Lord, for we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Hey, when you're discouraged, put your eyes on the Lord. You say, well, Jeff, I tried that and I put my eyes on the Lord, but it didn't work, and he didn't come through, and he didn't do what I wanted him to do. Well, how long did you leave your eyes there? Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he shall be gracious to us. I leave my eyes on the Lord until he shall be gracious, until he answers my prayer, until he comes to my aid, until he comes and defeats the giant that I'm too weak to defeat. I just keep looking to the Lord. You and I need to fix our eyes on the Lord. And we need to remember that He is able. He is able. It's nothing too difficult for Him. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory. He is able. Now, it goes without saying that David was much smaller than Ishbi-Benob, the giant. Much smaller. Now, we don't know. The scripture doesn't say how big he was. The scripture does say that Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And maybe Ishbi-Benob was his son. Talks about descendants of the giant. Maybe he's his son, or maybe he's his brother, or maybe he's some kind of relative. But he's a giant too. Maybe he's only 9 feet 5. That's still a big dude, right? Maybe Goliath weighed 650 and he only weighs 630. He's just a little smaller. He's huge compared to David. And that's what we do with our giants. We say, well, how big am I? How big is this giant that I'm facing? Don't look at it like that. The question is not how big you are. The question is, how big is your God? Because the comparison isn't between you and the giant. It's between your giant and God. And you know what we do so often? I'm guilty of it too. We magnify our giants and minimize our God. How big is your God? Let's think for a minute. Jason Tingle reminded me of this some weeks ago. Just think for a minute with creation, with the universe, with the things that we can see and we can know. How big is the universe? Well, I went online and did some checking. You know, when you talk about the size of the universe, they measure the size of the universe in light years. Why? Because the universe is so gigantic. So you measured in light years. Well, light travels 186,000 miles per second. So a light year is how much distance does light travel in a year? Well, in a second, it travels 186,000 miles. You know how far that is? Light in 1 second can travel around the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. One light year is 6 trillion miles. One light year. Well, how many light years is the known universe? And it changes all the time as science starts to learn new things. And I read a lot of different statistics, but the one I thought was probably the most conservative. It said that the known universe is 14 billion with a B light years. One light year, 6 trillion miles. So you say, take 6 trillion and multiply it by 14 billion, and you come up with this number, 8.4 times 10 to the 22nd power. That's 22 zeros. That's in miles. You know what the scientists call that number? A honking long way. That's what they call it. That's a big number. That's the known universe. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read this about the Lord. It says, who is he who measures out the waters in the hollow of his hand and measures the heavens by the span? The span is between the thumb and the pinky. How does God measure the heavens? How does he measure the universe? Boom, boom. Boom, boom, like that. Wow. God's got a pretty big span, doesn't he? The Bible says the heavens, not even the highest heavens, can contain God. The Bible says all the nations are as nothing before God. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. God is huge. He is so huge. How big is the giant compared to God? He is smaller than a pimple on a flea compared to God. And you and I need to constantly compare our giants to God. And we keep our eyes on God and we say, God, you're able. God, you are huge. And this problem that I have, it is small, so very small in comparison to you and your greatness and what you can do. You remember that he is able. And this God who is able, he is willing to help you. He's willing to help you. In this story, Abishai, David's nephew, one of David's mighty men, he saw that his king was in trouble, and he willingly came to David's rescue and defeated that giant. Abishai would have laid down his life for his king, David. He wanted to help him. I know of a God who laid down his life for you and for me because he loves us. He wants to help you. He wants to help me if we'll just call upon him. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. He's abundantly available to help us when we're in trouble. He says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. But he says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. In the Old Testament, God is just beyond and beside himself when he looks down at his people and he said, and they don't call upon my name. He doesn't understand that. How can they not call upon me? I want to help them. God wants to help you. He wants to help me. God says, call to me and keep calling to me and keep looking to me until I'm gracious to you, until I deliver you. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Remember, he is able. Remember, he is willing to help. And remember that he has a plan. God has a plan. Now, this is so true. When we get discouraged, we get our eyes off of the Lord and we get our eyes off his good plan for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's a verse you need to memorize. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What kind of plans, Lord? Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God has a good plan for you. But see, when you get discouraged, you get your eyes off the Lord, you get your eyes off the good plan. All you can see is a crummy plan. Lord, my loved one died. How can that be a good plan? Lord, I lost my job. How can that be a good plan? Lord, this bad thing happened to me. How can that be a good plan? Lord, my spouse left me. How can that be a good plan? Hey, when God gave that verse to Jeremiah, things were bad for the people of Israel. God says, I know the plans I have for you. The difficulty that you and I have is we look at the plan of God, which is a big, long thing for our lives, and we look at one little snippet, one little snapshot of one day of the plan. We say, it's a terrible plan, because look how bad it is now. It's like cooking an elaborate meal that's gonna take hours and hours to fix and grabbing a bite of it after 10 minutes of mixing all the raw meat together and say, this is terrible. Well, it's not ready yet. See, God's plan is working. You just need to look to him. God is a good God. Any God who would give his son on the cross for me is a God that I can trust, is a God that has good things in store for me.
A God who would willingly give his own dear son for us would never create and orchestrate a shoddy, thrown-together plan for the life of his children. It all comes down to trust. Trust comes from knowing God, and knowing God comes from reading the Bible, the communication from him to you and me. Pastor Jeff is a great example that defines this kind of trust as he concludes the message, The Giant of Discouragement, in just a moment. Now, if you support From His Heart, we hope that you are genuinely excited to be a part of reconciling people to Jesus. Together, we're proclaiming real truth and real love and real hope from the loving heart of God to lost and hurting people around the world. This month, we're hoping to end our fiscal year with a tremendously generous outpouring from our listeners, so we can end the fiscal year and plan for the kind of expanding outreach that is at our fingertips as God supplies through His people. For your fiscal year-end gift today, we'd like to say thank you by sending you two of Pastor Jeff's resources. The first is the series that we aired earlier this month, and it's called The Land of the Giants, and you can get it on CD, DVD, USB flash drive, or an MP3 download. And that's with your gift of any amount to From His Heart this month. And we'll also send you the popular booklet, When You Don't Like Yourself, from Pastor Jeff. Your gifts this month will go a long way to help us plan out the needs and take advantage of opportunities presented to us to grow the ministry in the next 12 months. So thank you for what you can do. Call 866-40-BIBLE to make your gift. 866-40-BIBLE. Or go to fromhisheart.org to make your fiscal year-end gift and request these resources. May God bless you. Now, here again is Pastor Jeff to conclude the message called The Giant of Discouragement.
Joyce Meyer has written a great little book on discouragement. And in that book, she talks about her daughter, whom she loves with all her heart. She said, when my daughter was 18, she was engaged to be married. And she was going to be married right around the time of her 19th birthday. And she said, right before she was going to get married, they had the ring and everything, and they were picking all the stuff out for the wedding. She found out her fiance had been cheating on her during the engagement. She found out he's a big liar. She broke off the engagement. What else could she do? And she was heartbroken. And see, when something like that happens, it'd be real easy to fall into deep discouragement and depression. She said to her mother, she said, you know what, Mom? She said, I'm hurting, but I'm so glad I found out now, before we're married, rather than later after we were married. And her 19th birthday came. What a birthday present. Find that out, to have a broken engagement right when you're 19. And her daughter said, Mom, today is the first day of the rest of my life. And I may have lost a fiance, but I haven't lost my future. And she trusted the Lord, and she praised the Lord, and she went on with life. And she's happily married today to a wonderful Christian man. God still has a good plan, no matter what has happened. Romans 8:28 is still in my Bible, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Where are your eyes today? Do you have them fixed on the Lord? Are they on all these other things, on all these giants, all these problems, and discouragement just comes in? All you can see is Ishbi Benob, the giant of discouragement, and he's going to kill you, and you can't, and you ought to quit. That's a lie, and quitting is not an option. Get your eyes on the Lord.
So, what have your eyes been focusing on the past few days or weeks? There is peace, rest, and a desire to keep on keeping on when our eyes are on our Heavenly Father, and not all the discouraging things around you that fight to bring you down. Maybe you've been out of the habit of daily scripture reading. Well, that's one great way to begin getting your eyes back on the Lord. As Pastor Jeff has said many times, daily devotion with God, studying, meditating, absorbing the truth found in God's Word is so critical. Without it, our sin nature takes over and we drift. We want to encourage you to get into the Word and let it encourage you. Let it change your thinking, your perceptions, your outlook on life. It will. It really will. Today's message was called The Giant of Discouragement, available on CD, DVD, or MP3, or a transcript from our website at fromhisheart.org. That's where you'll find the series, Facing the Giants. Time is gone for today, but we hope that you'll join us on Wednesday for another powerful lesson from Pastor Jeff's series, Facing the Giants. That's when he'll open God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.